back again. Another week at the barbershop. Welcome everybody back. BarbershopPlayersVoice.com. How you doing today, gentlemen?
Chilling.
Everything's good. Can't complain about a lot.
Full attendance. TJ in the building. DJ in the building. And unfortunately, A1 is in the building. Last man in the building.
Last one in the gym. Last one to arrive, first one to leave.
Last in, last out.
Banker hours. That's what we call them.
My man is the principal. Let's just hop right into it. Two-part NFL season preview as we got about 2 weeks left. So today we will break down the NFC, right? What did I tell you guys?
NFC, yeah.
NFC. We'll break down the NFC this week, and then on next week's show, we'll break down the AFC. Just want to hop right into, first of all, we started last week with, we did the last show. You know what? Let me backtrack anyway. Let's start with just give a quick shout out and wrap up. We didn't get a chance to preview it and talk about the beginning, but just as a rewind, DJ, you had your celebrity basketball game this weekend here in the DC area at your, I guess you can't say your alumni there because you didn't graduate. That's correct, right, TJ? And or the alumni, part of the alumni.
Yeah, no.
So what do you call a school that you just went to?
That was his first. School? That was his first stop.
Okay.
His first stop.
First stop on the long stop of schools.
I mean, I claim Parkdale though because all my friends and family went there. From Riverdale, so I just feel like I'm just part of that.
Okay. Had your basketball game. You want to speak about it, say anything, tell us, thank some people, whatever the case you want to be.
Yeah, man, I just want to thank everybody, all the players who came out, all the fans who came out, the friends and everybody who supported the event. It was a great event, my first one, and I had a blast. You know, some guys couldn't show up that I thought were going to show up, but it ended up being pretty good.
I'm not just saying this because I'm your friend, obviously, but It was seeing you do a lot of things in your life, and I must say I was proud of you because it was a success. It was your first time. Everything went smoothly. No major hiccups. Were there some players that could have been there who weren't? Yeah, but I just want to say one name in particular. The boy Victor Oladipo went into this weekend. I'm not going to say a big fan. Never had a problem with the dude or anything like that. Just wasn't a huge fan of his game. Left out top five favorite players in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, the dude... I don't know how much the tickets were, but he single-handedly provided that. That dude was amazing. And when I say amazing, obviously these are NBA players, so they're all extremely talented. But the fact that he single-handedly made sure that every single individual in the building, especially the kids, got excitement. He brought it. He brought that and-one tour excitement. You know what I mean? A lot of the guys, you know, everybody can shoot. All you guys at that level can shoot and do something. Mm-hmm. And he was exciting. He was really exciting. And I was very impressed.
I thought Quinn Cook played well, too.
Quinn Cook did. Well, the difference is that he doesn't have the above-the-rim game.
Right, you know what I mean?
But he definitely played with his intensity. He made his shots.
Yeah, he made his shots. You know, hit some nice layups. Because I actually thought our team was going to, like, kill that team. We were down like 20 almost the whole game. I mean, they was doing a lot of lobs and dunks.
Yeah, he put on a show. White Chocolate, always a good show.
Yep.
I enjoy watching him. And I for my money, in terms of people who don't play above the rim, he's as exciting as it gets below the rim. That just watching that dude shoot is very impressive. That dude can shoot.
Right, and Pat the Rock played well too. I thought I wasn't even going to have, like, you know, Pat the Rock and White Chocolate play because I wanted, you know, as many NBA guys as possible. And I knew them guys are the entertainment, but, you know, they both played pretty well.
No, they did. I think they added a great element to the game, and they're good all around. It was a very good weekend, and like I said, everything went smoothly. Didn't have a watch on, so I don't know if everything started on time. I think it did, right? Everything
for the most part, a little late, but the first game went by so fast, we was able to start the second game.
Did you get a chance to watch the first game? A couple of those AAU team
They
had some talented players on there.
Yeah, some grown men. They're supposed to be like underclassmen too.
Yeah, that was good, man. All in all, excellent weekend. Iverson was in attendance. He was great with the people. Everybody was great, man. It was great atmosphere, and it didn't have a separation feeling. Like, it felt like the crowd, the players, everybody kind of had a union sort of thing together. So make sure if you missed it this year, make sure you catch it next year. It will be. Are you gonna do Parkdale again, or you? Don't, I guess it's too
not
early.
Sure. Yeah, it's too early. I'm not sure.
Okay,
but you know what the biggest surprise to me was?
What's that?
In that game, Lawrence Moten. He can still play, man. He's older than Allen, man.
I saw the dude, and I'm like, that guy looks so familiar, and I kept meaning to ask who it was, and I never did. He was wearing like number one or something, right? Yeah. The goatee?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I, now that you say that, I was like, that guy looks so familiar. Who is that? Okay, got
he hasn't put on a pound. He's still the same weight.
No, he's still skinny.
He's still dunking, yeah. Hitting his shots. He's moving him. Like, and David Hawkins is like, man, I couldn't get him out the way. I'm trying to, like, move him. He wouldn't go nowhere. He really surprised me. When I see him, and I know he still, you know, looks young, and he still looks like he's in shape. He actually still, he's dunking off the vertical.
Yeah. Slim caught one off the rim. Couple coming off the rim there.
I caught like three off the rim. I was offensive rebounding that game, man. You know,
is that what it was?
Yeah, you know, I had to have Vic out there. You know, he was the entertainment. He was shooting his shots, and I had to
and
go
you was
get
Dennis
mine.
Rodman, huh?
I was Dennis Rodman. Oh, yeah, Dennis Rodman. I had to go get you, mine.
Well, okay, he was Russell Westbrook, and I got to get yours off the glass.
Serge Ibaka,
yeah. Absolutely. Now, oh, and by the way, that being said, the video will be out. We did take the barbershop. That should be bearing the lead on that one. He did take time out to make sure that all you barbershop listeners, there will be a video, short snippet from all, talk to a lot of the players that were there, then a nice little treat at the end from a certain player, and awesome footage. Just so make sure you catch that footage, because D got a lot of good footage. So it's a lot of good footage. Let's get into this. Now, I'm going to start by asking you guys this. I know we got a Bears fan, a Giants fan, and unfortunately a Redskins fan and a Tampa fan. I want to throw this out there for you guys. What do you think, as a fan, like, you are locked into? How do you feel about abandoning a team? Like, what is your philosophy on, like, do you feel like you have to root for your team no matter what, no matter what's going on, if you don't agree with it?
Personally, I say, yeah. I mean, that's a part of being a fan. That's a part. The highs that you experience come from directly from the lows that you've experienced. So if you know,
there's nothing the Bears could do. Nothing they could do.
That yeah, would say, I gotta get off. Yeah, this they could move from Chicago if they were no longer the Chicago Bears, and I'd no longer be a fan. But outside of that, no, there's nothing they can do, man. There's nothing they can do.
DJ,
I'm with TJ on that. I mean, I'm gonna be realistic about my team. If we're trash, I'm gonna be like, man, we're trash. But I'm gonna still watch so I can try to figure out what we need for the next year. I'm going to always root for my team, but like, unless they move from New York.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of history lesson, a personal one. I was born in Philadelphia, grew up a Philadelphia fan of everything because my older brother was, and that's why I followed. I was a diehard Eagles. I had every Eagles hat, T-shirt, everything you could think of. To this day, still have anybody who's ever been in my house, Randall Cunningham, Randall Cunningham, everywhere, favorite player. When that was Jeff Lurie at the time, I believe it was the owner, and we had that team. You'll understand this, DJ, because you grew up a Giants fan, an NFC East. You remember that Eagles team that we had: Jerome Brown, Reggie White, yep. Clyde Simmons, mm-hmm. Seth Joyner, Eric Allen,
Keith Byers
is the fullback, you know, and Randall Cunningham, Fred Barnett, Calvin Williams, Keith Jackson is the tight end. Pro Bowlers,
I mean,
everywhere.
I love that team.
Andre Dirty Waters, right? Everybody. We let every last one of them leave in free agency. We did not re-sign one of them. Not a one. And then we watch Reggie win a Super Bowl, Clyde win a Super Bowl, Seth Joyner, Keith Jackson win a Super Bowl, Eric Allen goes to 5 more Pro Bowls with the Saints. I'm not talking about we let these people go and they were done. Like, no, these guys went on to contribute at other players at Pro Bowl level. And I said, by the time that window had closed, I can't support this. You grow so attached, especially as a kid, and it was a different era, so you didn't, you know, there wasn't all this NFL ticket and internet, so you didn't get to just watch whatever you want. I was heartbroken. I literally was heartbroken watching Randall Cunningham, Pro Bowl level of the Vikings, mm-hmm. watching Reggie White, Pro Bowl level of the Packers, and I was just, I can't support that. I just couldn't. It broke my heart. I bring that to say, and this will almost go direct to yours, A1. If you're a Redskins fan, at what point do you say enough is enough? Like, I can't support being the circus every single year. The season has not started. You went from a guy who was your week one starter in week one of the preseason, and 2 weeks later, this guy might not even be on your roster.
A1 just balled his fist up. You better duck.
Every single year. Could you, if Slim, I'm going to start with you. If you were a Redskins fan, at what point do you say enough is enough? I can't support this anymore.
Well, I feel like the circus is about Robert. So if we I would cut him.
The latest circus,
but this has been the most it's been. And
there was that Hughes circus
while.
2 years ago.
Ago? It hasn't been like this.
There was a Donovan McNabb circus. Remember the Hainsworth thing? Was the dude was paid $20 million and just wasn't going to play. Period.
Right.
Then there was the Donovan McNabb thing. I mean, the list is endless.
I mean, you could listen now. Let's put some things to perspective here. Hold on.
We're going to talk about Robert. And
This isn't about Robert. This is about team. Circus. Yeah, listen. So I'm going there. You could be that, but I think that's where you separate the fan from the fanatic. The fanatic will lose his mind and will burn his Redskin jersey and will. But the fan and a person who watches football like we all do and consider ourselves somewhat of a certain level of aficionado in the sport know that Robert Griffin, he could be good or it could be bad. You know, you had to take it with a grain of salt. The fanatic goes, oh, my God, you know, either oh, my God, yes, or you're oh, my God, I can't believe Dan Snyder did this. And then the fan also knows it. We've got an owner that's he's more Al Davis than he is Robert Kraft.
Al Davis minus the greatness. Al Davis became senile, first of all.
I'm not talking about the Al Davis that we don't know. I'm talking about the one that we grew, that we knew in our years.
Right.
So, and you could always be the Raiders. You could always be them now. I mean, so there are some teams and some organizations that the Redskins aren't, you know, cause what they'll do is, here's what happens. They'll mix in all this circus and these abysmal years, and then you'll get that 1 year where the promise of some inkling of promise, after the Albert Haynesworth thing, what happened? RG3 comes in, almost. When did y'all finish that year?
Win a division.
10-6, won a division.
If Robert don't get hurt, maybe they beat Seattle.
Maybe they beat Seattle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So then, you know, that's the hit. That's the proverbial hit that the Redskin junkie goes back to. He skims over that we just picked number 2, that we just picked number 5. They skim over that. They go back to that 10-6 hit.
So you look take at it a that bump. Way, and I look at it and say is that this is the only place that where a guy can literally walk on water, and then 2 years later, they don't even want you. I mean, that doesn't happen anywhere else. You know, it doesn't. Like you said, they were riding high. They were one play away from – I mean, they were in that Seattle game. I believe they were up in the third quarter, if that be the case. You know what I mean? And this was a Seattle. They were in Seattle, correct?
No, they were in. They were here.
Were they here?
Was it in Seattle?
I believe it would have been in Seattle.
No. They were here. They were here. Yes.
Okay. Okay. But the point is just you never know. And like you said, Slim, it's never that big. No, but it each year is the biggest one. The Redskins, and I'm not talking about local. When you're watching ESPN, which it was Haynesworth's name, just going across the – how many – we knew the first time we understood, the first time we were explained what an NFL physical test is with Albert Haynesworth. That's when you need to do 20 100s in this amount of time. Today he did 7. Next day, Albert Haynesworth doesn't even run sprints. Might try again Thursday. He did 11, sat on the sideline, drank water, talked to reporters.
But
that's when we got all – and then it was McNabb. And then,
but hasn't it always – hasn't? I mean, I feel like the Redskins have always been that pariah, that if you will, moth to the light. I mean, that goes all the way back to Deion Sanders. I mean, that's always been – you know, and you go into the 60s, and I mean, they've always made a pickup, an acquisition that kind of ruffled the waters.
Circus.
And whether it be circus, some would say that Dan Snyder is a genius because – what he does, listen, and this is why. You got to get beyond the winning and the losing.
Got to be relevant.
He wins before the season starts. He makes fans go out and buy 3,000,092 Albert Haynesworth jerseys.
How many
RG3 jerseys? I mean, you get every year. This has been the 1 year where we haven't had the splash free agent or even the splash draft pick that people are going, oh my God, crazy over. But for years, he won before the season started. Season tickets were done before the year started because, oh, did you hear?
Yes, because he's been running the Redskins as a marketing firm since he's
but that's what I'm saying. So you have that, and whether you know.
Which I blame the fans for.
If that's Dan Snyder, if that's really Dan Snyder's strategy to market the team, that would be horrible to know if you're a fan. But in the same token, I feel like Dan Snyder took over this team not knowing all the ins and outs of what it took to be an owner. Yes, he knew what it took to run a multi-million-dollar business and a $1 billion business, but he didn't know what it took to be an NFL owner. And I think over the years, you slowly started to see, early on, he was involved. He treated it like his fantasy team. Now you're starting to see, okay, I'm trying to hire competent individuals in the front office to run the Redskins. And I think you're getting that with, you know, as we have with the San Francisco GM that came over, even though he, you know, everything about him was a raging alcoholic, but he's a certified genius as well. So let's
as we move from this, then it's Slim. If if Dan Snyder was running the Giants like this, you just say, hey, I'm here.
As a fan, I don't feel like you can abandon your team. I mean, because what do? You just got to pick another team.
And
how do you pick?
Where do you get love? Where do you get the love from?
What happened? You got to have the love.
Where do you get the love?
And then what happens when that team starts to unravel? Did you quit them? You didn't pick another team from there.
Please,
how do you go about picking another team? You got to have the love for that team, and you got to stick it out. And as far as the Redskins, though,
man, he's not going nowhere.
But I just
we live here, so we hear all the stuff about the Redskins. I'm pretty sure in the mother cities, they hear every day about their team. I'm in Tampa. I mean, y'all had stuff going on down there. I'm pretty sure in the media. Yeah, every team does.
Every team
but
does.
But we get it here the most. So that's why.
Flying rampant down there.
That's why we feel like it's more of a circus here because we live here.
As a Redskins fan, are you not fed up, A1?
I'm not really fed up. But
he sees the light.
I don't think you can really put this on Dan Snyder. I mean, because all reports have said that he supported Robert, and that's been part of the problem.
I don't even want to make this about the Robert Griffin event. I want to make this about, this is just another event. And we all know, will this surprise you? At the end of the year, Griffin's gone, and
Kirk Cousins?
No. The coach, Gruden's gone. Would that surprise anybody?
No.
Not at all.
And then yet again, you guys will be looking for a quarterback and a coach. And it's just like, when does this stop?
If they don't win, they should.
I mean,
there are teams that, I mean, the New England Patriots, so we've known them for the last decade or so as this, you know, perennial model run organization. But if you go back just a little bit further before when those helmets turned silver and they were wearing those white helmets, it was a laughing stock of the league. So I think that the league goes in cycles. There were a myriad of moves that set the Redskins back that you couldn't predict. You couldn't predict that Sean Taylor was going to die. You couldn't, and that's worth. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't predict that Albert Haynes, even though some said it, no one would have thought that he would have $100 million and just lay on the ground and say, I don't want to play football anymore. Like, that was the furthest. Literally lay on the ground and say, I don't want to play no more. You couldn't predict those things. And those things are things that set the organization back, you know, years.
I can predict it.
Deion Sanders.
Know who their first round draft pick will be next year. Deion, he will fail.
No, but you can't say because, listen, yes, they drafted Ryan Kerrigan. And Ryan Kerrigan.
And he's one.
I would take him at the. But you got to look at like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders handcuffed him because of the salary that they gave him for years. There were a myriad of things that built this tidal wave. For all intents and purposes, we'll get into this later, I'm sure, but it wasn't Shanahan. It wasn't little Shanahan. That wasn't the problem, and I'm sure we'll delve into that later.
And then it just goes, it's just a train wreck over there. And
it's sad.
If I'm a Reds, I'm mad for the players because I feel like if RG3 had went anywhere else, his situation would have been different. I just feel like how many quarterbacks have to – the whole – it seems like every Redskins quarterback finds himself playing for more than one coach, more than one offense coordinator, more than one person blaming him.
But that's not unique. That's not unique to the Redskins, though. Huh? It happens in a lot of that. That's not unique to the Redskins. A lot of teams go through that.
The Chicago Bears, we went through our share of quarterbacks before we got.
Yeah, look at the Bucks. I mean, how many quarterbacks are Josh Freeman? You know what I mean? Like,
no, but we don't have the situation where it's like the coach and the quarterback hate each other.
We're not a major market team either, MG.
Anyway, so then let's deal into the football side of this one. I'll let you go first, Slim. We did before and we asked. Matter of fact, we'll start right here with you because your bold prediction, the whole board is just going to hell in a handbasket.
I totally disagree there.
That board, A1, you can pull that up for us. Probably have next week. But you can
if you really think A1 took those notes, you're absolutely out of your flipping mind.
I mean, one of the questions over and under was 10 stars for RG3. I mean, maybe, we didn't say with the Redskins, so maybe he still has a possibility to get him with somebody
Toronto
else.
Is still wide open.
But Slim, what happens with it? What do you want to tackle it? What do you have to say? Is RG3 done? Is he done here? Can he still play football?
He's done here. And one of my predictions was that he was going to have a good year. And that was because I thought he was quiet. I thought he was humble. and I thought he was focused. And then he goes to the media and says he's the best quarterback in the league. As soon as he said that, I said he's done.
I was surprised to hear that you would think that.
That he was done or that he would have a good year?
No. That you would have a problem with him saying, if somebody stuck a camera in front of your face and you don't say I'm the best shooter.
No. I mean, I was having this conversation with Allen Iverson the other day about somebody was saying they were like the best in the league. And we might have been talking about Robert. I was just like, I mean, I know what I could do. I know what I can't do. I'm not going to be unrealistic when I just so everybody could think I'm the most confident guy in the world. And you just because you don't think you're the best, that means that you're not confident in yourself. He knows he's not the best. He got a lot to prove. He shouldn't even say them words out his mouth. Now, I'm not saying say nobody's better than you, but you don't sit there and say you're the best quarterback in the league and you have nothing to prove when you have everything to prove and you're nowhere near the best. You're one of the
worst.
You know, it's and especially when you've been quiet in the media and everything you say gets turned around, people jump on your back, and you've been good about that this summer. And soon as he said it, it's like immediately it went downhill for him.
From there. Yeah, that was yeah. So what happens next?
What
happens next with him? And what happens? We'll tackle the Redskins later in the show. But go ahead.
I feel like they probably let him go. They cut him, and I think he goes somewhere else, and he plays well.
He's productive.
Yeah.
You see. Okay.
Wait. So let me ask DJ right quick. With the 32 teams, do you put them like top 11, middle, or bottom of the RG3? Like when you say he's going to have a productive season. Like top 10?
No.
Pro Bowl?
Not a chance.
Him?
Not a chance.
RG3?
Not a chance.
Listen, we know you still love the guy.
No, I'm asking DJ because he said he's going to be the season.
I think.
But that's not even like possible.
I think.
Well, he said he's going to go to another team and have a productive season. That's what I'm asking.
I mean, being productive is just going there and be like, okay, I can be a starting quarterback in this league, but nothing that's going to. Not this year at least. Yeah. I don't feel like. I think he'll go somewhere and you know, somebody may get hurt or maybe he get a chance to get on the field and he's productive and they be like, you know what, maybe he can start for us next year, then, you know, hopefully go from there.
So you're pretty much saying zero expectations for this year. You can almost red shirt this year.
Yeah, no expectations at all.
Go ahead, Teach.
I look at the Robert Griffin situation almost threefold. The first point with the whole, you know, thinking that he is the best quarterback in the league, and that could have been worded very simply by saying, I have supreme confidence in myself. I don't think you could be a starting quarterback in this league if you aren't ultra confident, ultra competitive. And that doesn't throw anyone under the bus. It doesn't, you know, doesn't put you on a pedestal. But I think with RG3, because we got so much of his background coming from these military parents, we were thinking that we were getting a different personality than what he really is. And what he really is almost, he's almost spoiled in a sense of entitlement, in the sense of you have some military kids who, you know, this is not to paint military kids into a certain light, but this is what we attach to Robert when he came out. Both his parents were military. He's, you know, a stand-up guy. He works hard. But maybe some of those things were, no, Robert is a very entitled person. And you can see that through all his conversations. He's, whether it's about, oh, I'm injured. No, I'm not injured. Well, Robert, for all intents and purposes right now, you're injured, son.
Something's off with him.
Because that's what some people think, refuse to understand, that we had this conversation, I want to say, about a month ago, is that just because it's the NFL, dude, it's still a job, brother. You still have a boss. There's still certain things that no matter how much money you make, there's somebody that makes more money than you in this organization. So where I come in with Robert is, when it was Shanahan, it was not Coach Dam, thank you for devising an offense that made me look successful. It was, damn, Coach, I can do way more than this, and you guys are holding me back. That's the entitlement. That's the singularism of himself. I mean, any other quarterback, if you watch Andrew Luck, dude, Andrew Luck speaks and he says so many words, and he says absolutely nothing. He talks. He's, you know, he's team. We got to go out there. You know, I probably got to make a couple more plays. He's saying a bunch of words, and he's never saying anything. He's never saying,
man. That's what.
But meanwhile,
that's what the great ones do. They say they can fill up 40 minutes of conversation, And when you're done with it, you're going,
didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. I didn't get a single answer. But at the time when he's talking, it seems about, it sounds right. Like he said that they got to go out and practice and execute. Oh, that, okay, all those things. But that's about what you what everyone is going to say anyway.
I don't
anyway.
Think you'll ever hear Andrew Luck say he's the best quarterback.
And I don't think you ever hear Aaron Rodgers say. I don't think you ever hear any of them say it. But what it is goes back to Robert's personality. It's entitlement. And that's why when you have those other quarterbacks, they have a galvanizing attitude, a galvanizing personality that people gravitate to. With Robert Griffin, even when you listen to Ryan Clark and other guys, they're like, whenever they give you this one, this is when you know. And DJ had this about players in the NBA. When they give you, he's a different dude. When they come with that one, listen, if we're all working together and we're at the office and someone comes up to me as a new hire and says, yeah, how's MG? And I go, he's not bad. He's just a different dude. that's not a ringing endorsement of who definitely. You are as a person, right? And I think once that starts trickling down, it doesn't matter how, if he shows up on time for workouts, if he needs the sprints, if he's there late to throw, I mean, footballs. I mean, there were reports that, man, Robert Griffin would be on the side field playing catch with himself, throwing the ball in the air, and because he wasn't the personality to walk over and say, yo, Pierre, somebody, come, you know, I want to throw some routes to you. He is expecting that Pierre is going to come over there, say, Robert, let's throw routes. And then the other single part is, well, I'll just throw it to myself and maybe they'll look over here and feel sorry for me. You know, those are the things that are floating around, I guess, in his mind, his personality. And be honest with you, that can't be your core. That cannot be the leader of your franchise. That can't be the tip of the spear. Now, he could be on the Pittsburgh Steelers when they had a great defense. He could be on the Jets when they had a great defense because his personality wouldn't need to shine through. He wouldn't be at the podium every week speaking about this, that, or the third. It'd be Rex Ryan talking, Bart Scott be doing some talking, and Robert just, Robert, how was you? Yeah, we played good. Got to get on to the next team. And I think the early success, all that rolled into one, dude, it was a downhill slalom. And then when you have the ringing endorsement of an owner that practically treated, and I don't know if Dan Snyder has any kids or a son, but he treated that dude like a son, man. And I think that part, once you get that and you get players in the locker room, well, you get people that you work with looking at like, dude, you need to be baby or you need to be coddled or you know, you're an ass kisser or those kind of things, respect flies out the window. Very fast.
For lack of a better word, he was. Let me ask you this, Slim, because you played with greats. For lack of a better word, from the outside looking in, Robert Griffin was Daniel Snyder's prized possession. Right? I mean,
right.
Like, if he was going to an opera tonight, like, it's like, I'm going to drive my Lamborghini and I'm going to bring Robert. You know what I mean? Like, and all eyes are going to be on me.
Robert now, bringing in the big bucks.
Yeah, like, that's my guy. You're doing a fundraiser. I'm going to bring Robert. And it's just like, that's my shiny new, that's my prized possession. Have you ever seen that with, like, is that normal? Like, when you're in Denver, was Melo the prized possession? Or the Spurs thing, is it Tim Duncan's the prized possession? Or is it more like, was Melo just one of you, like, just one of your teammates?
Nah, I mean, not for the owner. I mean, Melo was, I wouldn't call him a prized possession. Melo was one of us, really. He just was, you know, the best player.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously. So, right. I mean, obviously there's perks that would go to him that would go. But you never got a fit. But it was never like there's 11 of us and then him, which is what I think would happen in the Redskins. I think it was 52 people.
Right.
And Robert. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, I've never been on a team, a pro team, you know, with that kind of feeling.
I mean, even if you get a chance to watch Hard Knocks and the Texas, you know, it's only Houston Texans, right? And J.J. Watt, by all accounts and purposes, is the best defender in the NFL and is the Texans franchise player. And when you watch that show, it'll furthermore cement why he is. But there's a scenario in that sequence where Bill O'Brien is chewing him out. He's chewing J.J. Watt out. He's chewing the D out. Watt makes a couple plays on the D and comes off on the sideline. And Bill O'Brien's like, nah, I want Watt in there. Get back in the game. And J.J. Watt didn't slam a helmet. Didn't say a curse word.
He went. No, he strapped went out
up,
there. He
went
said,
back up. Went three straight plays. No. Went and then knocked the dude. Made him fumble and walked off the field and said, "That's what I do. That's why they bring me out here. This is what I do."
You guys are reading too much of your own book. You guys are believing too much of your own hype. He told him that. Saying that, obviously he's talking to Watt because Watt's the only person that's getting any hype.
Exactly. Right.
And that's what I've seen that in San Antonio. You know, Pop. All over Tony Parker. My first practice was San Antonio, all over Tony Parker. Tim Duncan, the same thing. You're supposed to be the Hall of Fame this. You're supposed to be the Hall of Fame that. Kenyon Martin slapped the ball out your hands 10 times. Bruce Bowen, you're supposed to be, they tell you, the best defender in the league. You don't defend anybody no more. Like, he let them guys have it, and they win.
And I don't think that was the case here. And at obviously all, we don't know because we're not. But
we clearly know that because you hear the faction and the dissension coming from the players once they're no longer players. Oh, you hear it? And then when I believe the Redskins lead the league in anonymous sources. spoke to a source who wanted to remain nameless in the locker room.
Sarah Anderson said she was like, I was talking to the guy who was sitting next to Robert when he got the news. And like, it's just like, definitely talk about leaks in the ship.
Let me say,
sources galore.
Dude, okay. ESPN can give you leaks, right? CNN can give you leaks. ESI can give you leaks. But when you're hearing sports leaks from TMZ, that's when you know.
Sports Online, players' voice leaks. Dude, like,
TMZ had a segment where they were like, one Redskin player that's a prominent offensive player said, now we can get to winning.
Yeah.
That.
Wow.
That is.
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
And that was reported on, that's not ESPN. TMZ is reporting that. Like, dude, when they've gone outside of talking to ESPN and said, you know what? This isn't enough. We gotta go global with this.
You can't. That's what happens when you can't walk around and acting like you're better than everybody else. Yeah, you'll lose your team.
Because we're seeing a lot of things, but what we're not hearing, we're not seeing any support. We're not seeing anybody running and
haven't
saying,
heard one, dude.
None right. of that T.O., that's my quarterback. Right. Nobody is saying that at
right.
all.
Right.
Nobody's saying that, which is very telling. So sometimes it's not as much as what people say. Nobody from that whole organization. I mean, the most you're getting is Gruden's, you know, we still think that he's going to be a part of this. That's what he has to say. For, you know, if you're trying to trade the guy, you can't be like, we don't even want him. We're probably going to release him.
I mean, there's a certain amount of politics in that statement. So
I mean, what's
kind of unfair about it is he never really got much of a shot in this preseason. He didn't have that many plays. And when they did, they didn't block for him. Like,
see, here's,
it's kind of unfair, really.
DJ, I was on board with you in that statement and the other pundits that had that statement. And then I had a chance to sit down, rewatch the games, listen to a couple of non-Redskin pundits and go into what quarterbacks should be doing at the line of scrimmage. And what they were saying is that, dude, it's not the fact that he's taking these shots, because if you go back to this last game that Kirk Cousins played in, the Ravens were trying to put heat on him all the time. Kirk Cousins didn't take those big hits. He didn't take those sacks. And it was one of the main reasons that really stood out to me was because pre-snap, Kirk Cousins identified that, hey, I'm probably not going to have the 3 seconds that I'm going to need to get this 15-yard pass off down the field. I'm going to take a quick look. If I don't see it, here goes 3 yards. I hope you got 14 yards of yak in you. And that's the name of the game when you're trying to be, you can't wake up and be Peyton Manning.
See, but Kurt tricked you every year like that.
Yeah, but
every year he gets you. He has a good game, and Robert gets hurt.
Yep.
Has a good preseason. As soon as they turn the keys over to him,
2-7, dude.
The lights, Kurt, come on. No,
don't get me wrong. That I'm supporting Kirk Cousins. I'm just simply pointing out the things that Robert Griffin doesn't do on the football field, which then opens the door for him to take huge shots.
Absolutely.
So pre-snap, that game against Detroit when DeAndre Levy lowered the boom, he had plenty of time, dude. He's looking to get 17 yards. In my mind, it would seem the reason that Robert Griffin would go to the line of scrimmage going, duh, I know they're not going to give me 17 yards off the break. I'll take a quick look just in case Pierre Deschamps, somebody slips. But if it's not there, I'm not going to eyeball down the field waiting for a guy to break open and then make this immaculate play. I'm going to go through my progressions. 1, 2. Here's my drop off. Here's what he doesn't know. He doesn't know where that hot is. This open times that offensive lineman is documented. They've said, dude, he'll call a protection and roll himself right into the protection.
He's an athlete with an arm, man. Can't read. He's hooked on phonics.
Here's the thing, though, and I know me and Slim probably agree on this. I think the expectations for Robert have been so, and because of his star power and who he is, for as much as what he does off the field and attention-wise, as he does on the field. Lost in all of that is that at the end of the day, he's 24, 25. He's probably started a total of 25, 30 games. I mean, played 16, missed 2 years, and this is his fourth season. He's a young quarterback who needs to learn. So all the things that you're pointing out with, whether you can agree with all of them, that's fine. I mean, let's pull up the tape of Tom Brady's 23rd start.
See, but the thing with that is he came in being compared with Andrew Luck. And some people was going, some people were saying Andrew, he was better than Andrew Luck. And
not some, it was a lot of people.
Andrew's in the same boat as he is, so it's hard to, you don't look at him, you don't look at him
but
like
Andrew
that.
Andrew Luck hasn't missed 2 years of, here's the thing. And
he's 24, but his body's about 28, probably.
Yeah. I mean, but
two ACLs.
Anybody who's ever been in a situation, it doesn't even have to be sports related, it's your job. If the person, your supervisor, wants you to fail, and you get to that point where just like, man, they gave me a task of 9 things to do, and I did 8 of them, and all he wants to talk about is the one that I didn't do. And it's like, then I fixed that, and then he gave me 22 more tasks, and I did 21. And it's like, yo, the dude rides me if I'm here late, then he rides me if I'm hanging around practice late. And it's like, we've all had that person just like, you know what, I can't please this dude no matter what I do.
Absolutely.
And it becomes discouraging for yourself, and you just, you know, you call your mom, you call whoever, then just like, mom, dude, just like, I can't win. I can't win. And now his thing just plays out in front of millions of people, and I have to know that he's feeling like I can't win.
But how do you wait? But how do you know he's doing the 8 out of 10? How do you know he's, you know, doing like 90% of what the coach wants him to do?
Everybody has said, nobody has ever said that he doesn't work.
No. It's open that see, here's the thing, MG, and this kind of goes back to when guys were like, you know, when they talk about like Tim Tebow, or even when guys come to me and they'll say, hey, such and such is going to be a better shooter in the NBA next year. I heard he's putting up 5,000 jump shots a day, and I heard he's. And I say this, all that's fine and dandy when we're just tossing the ball around in the parking lot, when we're just right here with a whistle. But when the bullets go live,
absolutely.
I revert back to what I've been doing for the past 22 years, not what I've been doing for the past 22 days.
Right. If you look at the sources outside, the facts, okay? If Robert Griffin, let's just say Kirk Cousins goes out there and stinks it up, and Robert Griffin comes in, and they win the next 5 games, or Robert Griffin plays. Who loses their job? Gruden. Yeah. Because then you're you know. So then, knowing that, you have to know that he does not want you to be successful. Well, if Robert Griffin is successful, Gruden loses his job. Period.
If they lose
the playoff because they lost their first 6 games under Kirk Cousins, and then Griffin comes, wins 7 games, and you know they miss the playoff by 1 game, Gruden, you're out of here. You can't get along with this guy. You're gone. So in the back of his mind, you can't possibly think that he's cheering this guy on.
Look, check this out, though. RG3, him and his father were telling, I guess it was the coach before. What was his name?
Mike Shanahan.
They were telling Shanahan, like, what they didn't want to run. Like, he didn't want to be a running.
He
doesn't strike me as, like, the most coachable athlete there is.
He don't get along with Shanahan. And then Shanahan's out of there. Gruden comes in. It's like, okay, you're not getting along with him either. Maybe it's you.
But here's the thing is, I agree. That is undeniable. Here's the thing is, and I think am I the only one who gets the feeling that Gruden never wanted him to begin with? I don't really see how that relationship.
Mike
was
Shanahan
work
didn't want him to begin with. I think that when you go to the guys that Gruden has, he's played the quarterback position, though not professionally. He played in college. He was very successful in the Arena League. He was offensive coordinator, and regardless of how you feel about Andy Dalton got paid under his system.
Absolutely.
However you feel about it, okay? Mike Shanahan, we all know who he coached, okay?
Andy Dalton is terrible.
So they know, I'm pretty sure, with their eye on quarterback and what Mike Shanahan was saying, hey, give me a quarterback, or there's the quarterback I want. He's probably saying, you know what? I'm cool if the guy can run a 4.3. That's, you know, bonus. Super. That's like when you go get a used car and you pull up and says, oh, wait a minute. So you already got the dual exhaust on it. Great. Windows already tinted.
Right.
Good. I believe it. Satellite radio with a year subscription for free.
Right.
Great. All those things are good. And you got to be saying, but the engine is missing a piston or two. So what Shanahan says is like, good. Great. I got this superior athlete. Oh, he can throw the ball really far. Awesome. Is he a drop back pocket quarterback? No, that's my problem. All these things around him sound great, but the things that we talk about that make quarterbacks great, he doesn't do well. Right. So those things were identified by the Shanahan's, and some other scouting reports had that about Robert Griffin, that he hadn't played the quarterback position very long. You know, he was a converted track athlete. He's an angular athlete, meaning he is a straight line guy. He's not agile, meaning left, right. Injured often. All these things play in. And then you get this pompous attitude. But here's my thing. I think Shanahan knew that, bro.
And then we'll move on. Absolutely, he knew that. Here's the thing is that, and then we'll move on because we got the rest of the teams.
Yeah.
From the, and again, we can just eliminate the names. We all know the coaching circle is small, so they all talk. Shanahan on his way out the door says to Gruden, man, good luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good luck. The owner loves his kid, and he can't. You can't tell
can't do
the
no
kid
wrong.
Anything.
He can do no wrong.
You can't tell the kid anything. His dad's going to be there. Da-da-da-da. Good luck to you. It, you know, you're going to hate the job. So he comes in already preconceived. And the first time Robert says, you know, I really don't. I like you. He goes, this is what they told me about, and here comes Snyder. Right. And so it's already built. And so it might even if Gruden's like, I mean, you know what I mean? If RG3 was just saying like, hey, you know, I don't really like that. He's already been told what to look for, what it is. So it's just like he needs to just go somewhere where it's, you know, just a clean start. And I think backing up somebody, no spotlight on him, that person gets hurt. And he comes and, you know, and then he writes the second chapter of his career. He shouldn't have to be writing the second chapter of your career at 24 or 25.
But see, here's the thing, though, man. I believe that Robert Griffin's psyche is what is to be questioned here.
Because, how can it not because, be? It must be all over the place.
Because, well, and no, because it's more of a psyche of a petulant, like, kind of child. Like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go out here. I'm going to try to make big plays. But then I'm going to expose my line because I know he knows he should be. I don't want. I almost said a word on here. He knows he should be freaking checking down on some. And he's sitting there, and he's one of those guys that are like, yeah, go ahead, knock me down. Oh yeah, see, I keep getting knocked down. They keep to try to expose a wart instead of saying, you know what, I'm gonna help my offensive line out. I'm gonna help. I'm just getting rid of it quick. And then in the media, I'll take the bullets. I'll say, hey, look, guys, I got to get better next week. That's not what he's gonna do. He's gonna do the exact opposite. He's gonna expose his O line. He's gonna hold the ball longer. He's gonna get cracked. And then what it does is make people go, damn, is O-line not blocking for him? Oh, man, who can sit back there and take that kind of punishment? Why didn't the coaching staff design something for him? And he's smart enough to know that. He's cerebral enough to put that together. And that's the part I don't like.
One more side note before we move on. If I wanted to be an elite quarterback, I wouldn't want Mike Shanahan to be my coach either.
Say that one more time.
If I wanted to be an elite quarterback in the NFL, I wouldn't want Mike Shanahan to be my coach either.
Isn't that his thing, though?
I thought running backs was his thing.
That was
the zone running.
Yeah, to pick the hole and running.
Donovan McNabb told him before he got there, it's not going to work out.
I said that to the thing when all the Redskins fans are so funny because remember when Robert Griffin was around here walking on water, McNabb said he's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it was oh my god. He was like one, the Shanahans don't trust him; they'll throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And he's like two, like RG3 hasn't done anything. When they're like he's way better than McNabb, and it's just like. Oh, excuse me, I had like 10 good years. Yeah. I had one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And then so, you know, how are you gonna say that and that's all McNabb was saying. It's like, yo, let's not put him in Canton just yet. He's had one good year. And now all of a sudden, you know, McNabb doesn't look like such an idiot now, does he?
Right.
Now nobody's gonna go back and give him this prop because but remember when he was saying it was just sour grapes.
Well, we didn't know if he was off the you know.
Well, he won
could
the
have been too much granddad's golf medicine.
He won a division almost every year. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, he had a hell of a career, and that's all he was saying is, please don't compare me to the guy who had one, who's won one division title, and he I mean,
just so happens to be black.
All right, let's get into these. Go down these NFC teams, and we'll each do a A1. You ready to write some stuff down? We're gonna write down win totals.
He's just so lying.
And
he have a pen in his hand.
Let's make this interesting.
Clicking no buttons.
We're gonna keep a track of the year. We'll determine a prize later. How do you want to determine who was the most accurate? I was gonna say closest total
winning percent. Who has wins losses after it's all said and done in the division?
We're gonna name each one's gonna name how many wins the team should have.
Right, and then you tally up your wins. You tally up your losses in the division.
But how is that different from? Because right now, if we're making predictions for wins before the season. And then as we go week to week during the year, it might be different.
Absolutely. No, that will be different.
This is just the name of the game.
This is basically picking so we know before the season. Like, I don't want to look up if you say, man, I thought the Giants were going to win 15 games and they won one. Like, you're down 14 games.
Yeah, you're in the hole.
you know what I mean?
So that's what I'm saying.
So let's just say the total difference from each team. So if that was a scenario, you'd be all 14. So we're just going to do win totals. You said the Giants are going to win.
Okay,
eight,
you can go plus
nine,
minus. Do it like you were doing
you're
Vegas.
One off.
Do a plus minus. Do right. a plus minus. So, you know, you can finish.
I'd just rather do week to week.
We're definitely going
to do week to week. But let's just say at the end of it all, if you're plus, you're good. If you're minus, you're bad. So if you pick 15 wins and they only have 14, you're minus what? You know, 11 wins, right?
Okay, that's cool. You ready, A1?
Yeah. That was bad math, but anyway.
Right, right. Let's start in the NFC East right here. Dallas Cowboys. Start right there.
I'm going to finish injuries, and I'm going to go quick because whatever. 9-7.
Nine wins. You can just say the wins.
Nine wins
for the Cowboys.
9 wins.
You had last week. You had them missing the playoffs and the Redskins winning the division. Sticking with that,
I'm gonna go take that back. I'm gonna go 7 wins on the Cowboys. I'm still sticking with the Redskins winning the division. Yep.
And Cowboys missing it.
Mm-hmm. 7-9. Go 7-9 because I think losing, even though Skandrick, like I say, he isn't Deion. They've suffered a lot of little injuries, and I'm telling you right now, Darren McFadden is a bad boy, and I think he'll be good. But how long he can be good is the problem. And
3 games.
When I watch Randall and I watch those other backups, they were missing wide open lanes. There was a little bit of talent there that DeMarco Murray had.
Ray Rice, one of them dudes will be there. Yeah. Promise you that.
Okay. I don't know how you let your pride let you go back to Redskins winning the division.
It did.
Just because you picked it earlier.
And you see how he went from 9 wins, but then when I reminded him that he said he was in the playoffs.
No, because
I had to go down to 7 wins.
Because at nine, you can still make the playoffs.
Right.
But I wanted to put the Cowboys at close to making it, just not making it.
Okay, I have Dallas at 9 wins also.
I have 7 wins. He's original. He has 7.
I got 7.
You got 9.
I have Dallas at 9.
Yeah. I'm going to go 10.
Okay.
I'm going to go 10. I want to say 9, but Slim said 9. So I'm gonna go with, because I don't want to. No,
yep.
I'm gonna go ten. Giants. Slim.
I have Giants at 9 also.
They got Giants.
Do you have them winning the? I think you had. You have them winning the division or no?
I don't know yet. It's between them and the Cowboys.
We're about to find out because there's two more teams in the division, so we're about to find out if you have them winning.
They're the top of the division for me. Both of them 9 wins.
Giants, I'm going to go 8-8.
Giants at 8-8. I'm going to give that 8-8 to Philly. And the Giants, I got somewhere about 6-7 wins.
So you're going back to the Philly 8?
Yeah.
So you're going 8 Philly. You got that 8-1? He went back and he changed Philadelphia to 8. 6. And you're giving Giants 9?
I'm giving the Giants 6 wins.
Oh, 6. Okay, so you got the Giants not doing good.
I don't like their running back situation right now. I don't know what Victor Cruz is going to do. I mean, you got to give Eli some weapons, man.
I think he has weapons.
I think he has.
I mean, who? What? Ruben Randall? I got Odell Beckham, and then I got
Beckham. I like Cruz in the slot, and I like
Cruz. Cruz may not be there.
I like Randall and Cruz, and I like Larry Donnell. Said,
Cruz may not be there, but he's got big things for Darren McFadden this year. Yeah.
No, I didn't say big thing. I said if Darren. I don't have big plays for Darren McFadden.
Darren McFadden is to the NFL what Grant Hill is to Orlando Magic.
No, I'm with you, but like I said, in 3-4 games, he's going to put up some numbers. There's no doubt about it.
3-4.
That's all. That'll win you a fantasy championship if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that one. That one, I agree with you. Giants, give me 7. Give me 7 wins. Eagles. Now that's where all the hype is coming from.
Yeah. I'm going 8-8. I told you.
I got 7 for the Eagles. 7-9.
Bradford goes down 6.
Okay.
I think once Bradford comes out, that gets ugly, and I think he does come out, but I think that gets ugly. Speaking of getting ugly, Redskins.
What'd you say?
I said 6.
What did you say? I said 7-9.
I think this is the one, and if you polled 15 of whatever the NFL experts are, from Ray Lewis, Chris Berman, all the way down to whatever, I think this would be the team that has the widest.
Yep.
I think you're going to have people saying 13 wins, and I think you have people – it's the Chip Kelly thing. You know, some people believe in it, and some people just don't believe in it at all.
They look damn good in preseason, though.
I think the Red – oh, you
they do.
You
and gimmick teams generally tend to look good in preseason.
They have to.
That's when gimmicks
– that's when they work.
That's when they work.
When preseason. You can roll – when you're rolling out 55 – you roll out 70 bodies on offense. See, and that's another thing that people have to realize is that when the season starts, you don't have a cachet of 90-some-odd players – at your disposal. You got 53 players and 47 dress.
Right.
So all this running guys' tongues out into the ground, that works weeks 1 through 5. Week 6 gets a little tiring.
Yeah. And then the Redskins.
4-12 for me.
10 wins. Whew. 10 wins.
Give me some of what DJ was drinking. Sign me up for
10 wins.
That was TJ.
I don't like saying the same numbers.
10 wins.
Slim, so you said 4. I'm debating whether I want to do 5 or 3.
10 wins. Redskins.
I'll say 5. You said 4, right?
I said 4.
Yeah, I'll say 5.
10 wins.
It's okay to agree with me.
10 wins.
Kind of smart.
Yeah, it is. But if I could be one better than you, I'll go one better. I almost want to pull up this schedule so I can even find five, because I do think it's more of a four, maybe even a three.
Nope.
But they are.
They're not that bad. They were just bad at one position.
So let me ask you then, A1, this is the only one that we care about. Redskins.
Their defense is going to surprise a lot of people, I'm telling you.
97. Okay. Let's go to the NFC North then, and we'll switch over to that. Jay Cutler. Also, for real quick, going around the before we close out the NFC East, I got Cowboys. TJ has
Redskins.
And I mean, because I don't want to be like you, because I think the Cowboys could win it, but I think the Giants will win it.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You got the Eagles winning the division?
Put down those division winners. I care.
Put down those division winners. And put down that Slim. Text him later. Because he cares. Text Slim all your picks, all right? And that's code for keeping to yourself. Your division. Start right there with you, TJ. Chicago.
9 wins.
Am I the only team who's going to predict their team to suck? I'm the only guy. Okay.
I think 9. I mean, it could be 7. It could be 9. I'm going to take the high end. I'm going to take 9. That's my playoff wild card team for the NFC. That was one of my bold predictions.
I got 5 for them.
I got 6.
Okay. And that could totally be true. I don't mind. I'm not going to sit here.
You wouldn't be surprised.
No, I definitely would not. I'm not sitting here a raving lunatic about it. You know what I'm saying?
Their tie receiver going down and letting Brandon Marshall go is huge.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then
the Jets.
And one more year of Cutler.
Yeah.
Cutler, no Brandon Marshall, no Kevin White. Alshon Jeffries, here's your chance to be the one. I've bought into you in at least one, maybe two leagues, so I hope you are. You're already banged up. I don't know. That sounds like 5-6 wins written all over it.
I'm with you. Hey, look, it can go that way.
Detroit Lions.
Detroit's Detroit, man. I think.
Detroit versus everybody.
Yeah, clearly. I go 6 wins there. I, offensively, I see it. I know defensively, Levy, they try to say that Haloti Ngata, Sue won't be missed.
Yeah, all right.
Ziggy. Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah, all right. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. And then I do like the kid Abdullah at running back.
He can't say. He already got a concussion?
I don't know what he had some little nagging.
I think he had a concussion.
So I'm not there. I'm going to go 6 wins in Detroit.
8-8 for me. How you don't buy it to Haloti Ngata, though?
But no, it's not.
It's not. Not buying. It's not. It's not as Sue's replacement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have no problem with Nada.
Okay. I like Haloti, but
I just think Sue's.
I put it this Sue's way: one Haloti's on the other side of the rainbow.
I think Sue's one. I'm gonna go with Slim on this one. 8. You said 8, right?
Yeah.
I'll go 8. I'll go first. Then Green Bay. Ooh, I forgot about the Jordy. Give me 11 still.
Green Bay at 11.
Yeah. I was gonna go 12. I said 11 because of Jordy.
Yeah. I don't see that. I see 8 and 8. Yeah, I mean, I think Jordy Nelson is a huge part of what
they did. You said 11.
No, I said I don't see that.
Oh, you don't see 11? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think he's worth 3 wins, though?
No, I don't think that Jordy Nelson is worth 3 wins. I think that Brian Beluga being hurt, which is their starting left tackle, he messed his ankle up. I think that hurts their O-line. And I mean, Jordy Nelson, man, dude, you're talking 20-some-odd yards a catch. Like, that ain't easy to replace. Adams sounds good. I don't know about him.
Aaron Rodgers just gets it, man. I feel like whoever he throws the ball to is just going to be.
So they say. We'll see.
He one of them dudes.
He is definitely.
That's a bad man right there.
I feel like he makes Jordy more than Jordy makes him.
I think so. I agree. But defensively, I don't see that. I don't see the same. I see the same problems that they had last year this year. I don't see the D-line. They didn't add. There were no pieces that were added to make me go, okay, this is going to keep them from stopping the run, being able to stop the run this year.
I'm with Slim. If Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers go separate ways, I want to ride with Aaron Rodgers.
You're absolutely right.
And he has a running game. Eddie Lacy's an animal.
Eddie Lacy is a bad boy.
Minnesota.
11.
That's my division winner.
Ooh. Green Bay.
No.
Minnesota.
Really? Then this is why. Is that if they almost have just about everything you want on offense. They've got a deep threat. They've got a jump.
Deep threat is Wallace or Johnson?
Wallace. Okay. They've got Cordell Patterson, who's a guy that can catch a pitch and go 90.
Yeah.
They've got a tight end in Kyle Rudolph who can
who can. He's a solid. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler. He's been into the Pro Bowl before. Yeah. And then you got that guy back there with something to prove.
Right.
And I think he's going to be a monster.
And that could get, I mean, but if you give Teddy, if you give a quarterback, when I've watched Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's like got, two incomplete passes the whole preseason. And not that matters, but I'm just saying. You can clearly see the growth from year one to year two. When I watched Teddy Bridgewater, they were a well-oiled machine out there. I really like Minnesota.
It's that confidence. I got him at 9-7.
Yeah, I'm gonna take 11 wins with Minnesota.
I'll go with 9 with Slim, and I agree with everything TJ said. One except for Cordell Patterson. Last year was supposed to be his coming out party, and he went into the house.
Well, you see, that's why I didn't put him I put Mike Wallace as the emphasis piece, but Cordell Patterson, you give him something where they got to concentrate on, and maybe those, 5 yard slants, those end up to bigger plays.
He's been making some plays this preseason.
Yeah, yes.
A name to watch, and obviously I have my own reason why, but I think Stephon Diggs, I think it's going to be, he's not going to be like a Pro Bowl or anything, but I think you'll hear his name a time or two, whether it be a punt return. Yeah.
He's been making some plays too.
I think he gets 4 or 5 touchdowns, which is, they're going to be big plays. You know what I mean? That dude's talented. He really is. He really is talented. He kept getting beat up at Maryland. Yeah. But I think I wouldn't pencil him in as a number one receiver or anything. But I think there's plays to be made from Stephon Diggs. And I do think. Which one? Minnesota, I had 9. I think Slim had 9.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ had.
I had 11 Minnesota, 11. 9 Chicago.
Okay. So me and Tim, me and Slim are going Green Bay winning that division, and TJ's taking Minnesota?
Yeah.
Correct, Slim?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on over to the NFC South, my division. I will go first. As a matter of fact, we're not a day. We're going to start with Atlanta. Atlanta.
You want to go? 9-7 for me.
I don't know. They're pretty impressive. They're pretty impressive on offense. Atlanta.
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't know, but they're running, though.
I mean, if Tavon Coleman, I guess he's got to get on the field first. Can't make the club in the tub.
That's right.
I'd say Atlanta, to me, in that division, it's kind of by some default here because I feel like the Carolina Panthers took a mean punch, with Kelvin Benjamin. Mm-hmm. So that just puts Cam Newton right back to where he was, probably
even worse.
So I'm going to give Atlanta 12 wins.
If I'm Cam Newton and I'm looking at Matt Ryan and being like, yo, dude, you got Julio Jones, Rodney White,
Devontae Freeman,
Devin Hester.
Antoine Smith. I mean, he's got a boatload of talent.
I'm running around here with a banged up Devin Funchess is my number one receiver.
And Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
That's tough. So give me the Falcons. I'll even go as high as 12, dude. I can see them running right through that whole division with – not much problem. And the thing with Atlanta is that they are such a dome team. And based on the way that conference is set up is that, you get 8 games at home and you get 1 game Carolina in good weather.
And 1 game in Florida. Tampa
with good weather. And then you get another game in the dome in New Orleans. Yeah. So it's like the Falcons and the same thing like the Saints used to be is that, you're a dome team, but you find yourself going 13-3 without even stepping foot in the cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've always had a problem with that. I just don't think that's fair to teams to your whole division.
Right.
You know what I mean? That you have a team like the Saints or the Falcons, you'd say, man, they couldn't win in Green Bay, Minnesota, but they don't have to because they play in the domes. And then you get home field advantage and, you play all your games and then you play the Super Bowl in a sunny state. But, give me Atlanta at a, what'd I say, 12?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll take 12. TJ, you said?
12. I took 12.
I said 9.
Carolina?
8 for me, 8-8.
7 wins. 7 wins.
8. I'll take 8. And not even feeling strong about that. New Orleans.
4.
Ouch.
10.
I'll split the difference and go 7.
I think New Orleans is going to suffer, dude.
I do, too.
No, I mean, you gave away Kenny Steele's a deep threat. No
and
Jimmy
remember
Graham.
You said that Drew Brees was done, Slim.
Yeah.
I said he wasn't going to have a
right,
league.
Right, 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 right.
Say
he nah, nah, and, right,
and,
right, right.
I mean, and they traded away a boatload of players.
But, I mean, in order for them to win that many games, he needs to be elite.
Hey, dude, on the low, New Orleans is in
a
rebuild.
To win 10 games in that division, I mean.
4. 4-5.
I agree, they're in a rebuild.
They're in a rebuild, yeah. 4-5, dude. They gave away way too much this year for picks.
I'll go 7. Then the Bucks. You've already gone on record and saying they were going to win the division.
Did I say, oh, I thought, well.
playoffs, win a division. Yeah, I don't think they can win a division after seeing that offensive line. Right. I don't think it's really James' fault. That O-line is just horrible. But I do think Lovie Smith's Tampa 2, it always gets you like 6 or 7 wins just out of GP. I mean, he's never really in the – if you even go back to his Bears days, as anemic as we were on offense, we were never like in the tank with our record. It's always 6, 7 wins.
Give me 6.
I'll take the 7.
Yeah, I wrote down 7-2, but it's potential to be better or worse, really. Yeah. But
my potential to be worse.
Yeah, but I'll take 7.
That can get real ugly real quick.
Yeah.
If Jameis, because I'm expecting good games, good halves, good quarters from Jameis.
Yeah.
And terrible games, terrible halves.
Dude, watching him, now he was a guy that was checking down and still getting slapped in the mouth. Yeah. So.
NFC West, Arizona.
For some reason,
I like them. But
for some reason, I got them going 10-6.
I don't think that's crazy.
I know it's not
11-5.
It's not, but that's
11.
Just because of hoping Carson, you know, can stay healthy.
They look good when Carson was healthy.
Give me 11 wins.
Just can't ever stay healthy.
Give me 11 wins.
We don't know, but I don't know what I'm gonna get from Chris Johnson.
I'm not expecting anything from Chris
Ellington. Yeah. I like the other running back, Rookie Johnson, David, that they had. Johnson.
I just love their defense. They just somehow they pull out wins for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. I'm going to say 10. You say what, Slim?
10.
And you said
11.
Okay, we're all high on the Cardinals. Seahawks.
13-3 for me.
12-4.
I'll go with the lowest number then. No. I'll say 12. I'll go with you. Yeah. 12.
You had Jimmy Graham that equation. That thing gets markedly better.
But the thing is, the thing with Seattle always is that you start them with 8 wins off rip because they don't lose at home.
Yep.
And then it's like all they need to do is win half of their road games, and they're at 12 wins.
They can not lose. They can potentially not lose.
It could.
Yeah. Oh, no, really? Last year is including the season. Yeah, wow. So that brings the total up to
2 losses.
I mean, Russell Wilson is getting better, and Jimmy Graham's there. Yeah. It's like,
I don't see what they lost in office that would make you go,
in 4 years, I think Russell Wilson's lost at home 3 times.
Only thing, Cam Chancellor, man, they got to pay that, man.
Listen, I hear what people saying. He's going to sit out the whole year. I don't know how much money he's made in his career.
I've got a little inside scoop that's very connected.
But
he'll be these – no. Just trying to get those fines removed. That's trying to pay them parking tickets. How much – so if I come now, we're dropping those –
you got a little inside – I'm telling you now, dude. You're not sitting back missing no $250,000 game checks. That ain't happening, boss.
From the vibe I got, I don't think anybody was really expecting – just got his contract 2 years
ago. Yeah, nah, dude. He's just.
What, he got 2 more years on there?
Right. Yeah, I don't think Cam Chancellor will be sitting back saying, you know what? I've totally made enough that I can miss. I can miss a million in 4 games.
One person in football that pulls that move off and it works.
Yeah,
and his name is Darrell Revis.
And he's already And that's because he's already cashed in about $200 million deals almost. So
absolutely. 49ers, ugly.
4 wins.
Ugly.
They're picking at the top. I mean, you can't lose all that talent and then lose the – first of all, you lose the starting talent, and then you lose the backup talent.
coach.
And your coach. I mean, I'm 4 wins, dude. 4 wins.
Well, all this press that RG3 gets for sucking, nobody says anything about Kaepernick.
Because it's his defense. His defense protects it.
Kaepernick is just as bad as Robert.
No, he's not. He's not. You know? Man, he do not make the decisions Robert make. It's not even close for me. He's nowhere near as bad as Robert.
Bad dude. Nah. Own him for 1 year.
I got them.
Own him.
I'm not gonna have him. Listen, fantasy.
He doesn't do anything for you. Fantasy.
Like, this dude is terrible. Yo, this dude goes months without throwing a touchdown. Like, yeah, dude, it's terrible.
He's not out there losing games for you.
Yeah.
I go 8 wins for them. 8-8.
I said 4.
Yeah, 4 wins. Five. Give me 5. I'll go 1 up on MG.
St. Louis Rams.
See, that's the 4 wild
for
card.
Me.
Nah.
I love their defensive line, but
not many weapons.
Nick Foles is just not my guy, man.
I don't know. I want to see Nick outside of
Kelly.
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
And I do like Nick.
Give me.
Like him in terms of what? Like, think he's a good guy?
I think he can throw the ball.
Really?
Give me 6. Yeah, man. 7 wins. 6 wins. I think that's going to be the largest separation in division from the top of the division to the bottom of the division in the whole NFL.
Give me 9. Give me 7. Give me 7 wins. It's not much. I love their defense.
Defense is awesome.
I'm not sure about the
top to bottom
defense. Brian Quick,
you say what?
Kenny Britt combination like that.
Yep.
That I'm not Britt, so I'm not
Britt
in love
Quick
with
and Tavon
I'm not
Austin.
In love with their receivers,
right? Right.
So, I mean, it's just a lot to not be in love with.
That's really, I base my pick solely on that. I mean, I know their defensive line is awesome, but I just like, man, who's throwing to who? I mean.
So that division, we're all locked in Seattle.
Yep.
All right, well, that concludes the NFC. Ran through there. Anybody got anything they want to say before we get out of here?
No, we got college football this week. DeMar Johnson. Any upsets on there? You got any upsets? Let's get up to the top.
I don't know the schedule.
Hold on, we can just get the top 25 real quick. We've got about another 10 minutes here.
Oh, I thought you was about to die.
No. 4:30. 4:30 is our cutoff time. You don't pay me after 4:30, and you know that. Right. You gonna sit here? You gonna sit here and lie?
You had to either pee or go.
Duh. So, here we go. Top 25 games. You got Notre Dame at Texas. You know we're number 11. You got Alabama playing Wisconsin. Let's see here. It's funny how MG's looking up this mess, and this is what the producer's supposed to do. This is the wildest show we've ever done.
Yeah, definitely.
And MG's has the NBA scoreboard up right now.
Right now, it's the NBA scoreboard.
I definitely meant to click on it. I was like wondering why it was asking me about East or West. I'm like, huh, that's odd.
Week one.
Here we go.
You got Georgia Tech at Alcorn State, TCU at Minnesota. That's an upset game to watch. Minnesota is a team. Michigan State, I don't see anything here so far. No. Western Michigan, good luck. No. Baylor SMU, nope. Boise State Washington, no. Stanford Northwestern, no.
Louisiana Monroe, Georgia?
No.
Ole Miss Tennessee Martin?
Nope.
Wolford at Clemson?
Nope. I don't got Virginia UCLA either. Calvin Broad is.
Arkansas, Louisville Auburn? Southwest Missouri at Missouri? Bowling Green at Tennessee?
Nope.
Akron at Oklahoma.
Mm-mm.
Arizona State at Texas A&M. LSU? Slim?
No. I mean.
Texas at Notre Dame? What are you going to say?
Closest thing I can possibly see is.
Wisconsin at Alabama?
I got Wisconsin. You know what? I got Wisconsin giving Alabama a run.
But the closest thing I can see.
Because Alabama doesn't have a quarterback.
Texas, Notre Dame, or the Texas A&M. And who's that at Texas A&M was playing?
Arizona State.
Oh yeah, that's one.
That's the closest one I can see. Arizona State.
Ohio State has no problem going into Death Valley.
There we go. Virginia Tech, that's my upset. Virginia Tech beats Ohio State. No, they did it last year. They're gonna do it again in Blattsburg.
Nah.
Slim said no?
No.
No chance?
No.
Listen,
number one school to an unranked team?
Yeah. Joey Bosa's out.
I mean, Ohio State got too much, man.
Listen. They got four starters out.
I'm saying they're gonna upset the number one school in the country.
I'm going. That's my upset.
Ohio State loses week one.
Yeah.
No way.
Okay.
When is that game?
What time is that game?
It's a night game.
It's always. What are you guys saying for the starting quarterback? Is it Ohio State?
They say JT Barrett's like the greatest leader.
APM ESPN.
Barrett is the greatest leader ever. They're going to split quarterbacks, and see, I already don't like that. I don't like this dual quarterback system.
Yeah, they don't like it either. They mentioned it. I don't know. I like the big young kid. Man.
I'm going Virginia Tech,
the one who won the title.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like Barrett.
Cordell Jones. I'm going Tech.
Any boxing news that you want to tell me? You impressed with your Mosley fight?
Man, no, man, pissed off. They made you
see,
pay.
See, that was one
pay,
of the purchases.
They made you pay $60 for that fight. I wasn't even going to buy it, but Allen wanted to see it, so I got it. Man, it was horrible.
You weren't gonna buy it until the man touched his girlfriend's butt. WWE was like that was bad.
I still wasn't buying it.
Okay. Dude, listen, that was terrible.
Did you see the pack of cigarettes fall out of his pocket in the ring? I mean, like he looked. Mayorga looked horrible. Yeah, right. With that lifestyle, he shouldn't be. But that's another story.
That was horrible, man.
All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And next week, make sure you catch up with the AFC preview show. And anybody? Anything? Nope. Going once, going twice. Make sure you catch us all back here next week. See you again next week.
Yeah.